Rejoice, you favored one, for the Lord is with you right there in your life. And I know it may be tempting to think, particularly at this time of the year, particularly in Advent, oh, it'd be easier to rejoice if the Lord would just send more good things into my life this Christmas season. Au contraire, actually, if the Lord is with you, then it's possible for you and I to become good things that enter into the lives of others. And that's where the secret of joy lies. We're walking together through the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the story of the Incarnation, God becoming flesh to share his life and his joy with us. Jesus actually says, on the night before he dies, I've told these things to you, my disciples, so that my joy might be in you. My joy. Jesus has a certain kind of joy. He's got a certain kind of character. And he came to be the joy bringer, the joy sharer. And he wants your joy to be complete. But it will not be complete if your main goal is to complete up your joy. So here we go. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 57. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy. If you've been on this journey, you might know Elizabeth, her husband Zechariah, were elderly. They had been infertile. And Gabriel comes to Zechariah and says, God has heard your prayers, and you're going to have a child. And he's actually going to prepare the way for the coming of the Son of God, of Jesus. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown Elizabeth great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. You might remember Zechariah did not believe that his wife was actually going to have a child. So the angel Gabriel says, all right, since you didn't believe, you're going to be quiet, can't talk, and apparently can't hear until the kid actually shows up. They asked the father, making signs, what they should name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Now, Zechariah here is able to actually obey, to do what it is that God said, not to follow custom or tradition or maybe the peer pressure of other people. Nope, I'm going to surrender to God. And as soon as he does that, we're told immediately his mouth was open, his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Now, the phrase I want to focus in on today is when it talks about the friends and the relatives of Elizabeth being there, and they shared her joy. What does it mean to share somebody's joy? Are you a joy sharer? Joy is somewhat unique in this way. It is what Thomas Aquinas called one of the greater goods. Most of the things that we get in life, lesser goods, are things where if I share it with somebody else, there's less for me. If I have $2 and I share one of them with you, I only got one. If there are a batch of French fries on my plate, and I have somebody in my life that just takes French fries right off my plate because they say those French fries have no caloric content if they're not on her plate, well, then there's fewer French fries for me. I'm here in my office. It's filled with books. I love books. And sometimes people ask, would you share a book? And that's a real test of my development along kingdom lines. Because, man, if I don't get that book back, then I don't know. Something terrible could happen. Lesser goods are that way. You share it, there's less for you. But the greatest good, this is a hallmark of the kingdom now, and joy is one of these. The more you share joy with other people, the more you enter into their joy, the more that you rejoice with them when good things happen to them, the more joy you experience. There are other people that are kind of joy hoarders, and we're all tempted to do this. A lot of people, even people in church, can start to think, my life's just about being happy. So if I decide what choice I ought to make about something, my first question should be, will it make me happy? No, 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 no. You will never be happy if your primary goal is to be happy. In the Advent story, King Herod was a classic joy hoarder. He was the king. And when he heard there was another king born, king of the Jews, a little child, he was not about to share his kingdom, his throne, his crown. He's deeply disturbed. And joy is this way. And I know how it feels to be kind of on the anti-joy side. If there's somebody else and I compare myself to that person, they're more successful than I am, then their success just brings me misery and I feel inadequate, or their family is going great, or their kids are doing great, or their marriage is doing great, or they have a marriage and I don't, or whatever it is. When I'm walking down the pathway of comparison and envy, it is the road of anti-joy and there is less for me. But what happens here is the other way around. There's a group of neighbors and relatives who are part of Elizabeth's life, and they identify with her. They share her joy. How do you go about sharing joy? Well, they notice her. They know that Elizabeth and Zechariah have been sad, that their life has been characterized by pain because of infertility. And they don't want that for them. And then when it's taken away, it makes them happy just looking at Elizabeth's joy. I think about somebody that I know, quite courageous person, who went through three miscarriages with lots and lots of pain, but it was at an age when lots of her friends were getting pregnant, and she would go to one baby shower after another and seek to enter into the joy of somebody who is becoming pregnant and giving birth to a child where she could not. And there's just something real deep about the kingdom in that. They experienced joy at her shower. They had baby showers for her. They got gifts for the new little baby. They got camel hair diapers and pureed locust baby food because they had to prepare this little baby for life in the wilderness someday when he would grow up to be John the Baptist. They participated in the naming of the child. Now, this is an indication of deep caring. I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, and if you looked at the phone book back in Rockford, there used to be these things called phone books. There used to be these things called phones. Never mind all that. Almost all the names were quite similar. Anderson, Peterson, Erickson, Larson, because they were all family names. You would name them at, this is Peterson, this is Larson, this is Erickson. Swedes were not particularly creative. There were a few Norwegians there, and they were kind of sad because, like, Christensen was not only not creative, they didn't even know how to spell. It would be son, S-E-N. If you're Norwegian, I'm sorry that you're Norwegian. Anyway, back in this story, in that day, very often names were given on the basis of family, but that wasn't going to be the case here. And when they asked John, now he's finally given the opportunity after all these months of silence and reflection and wondering and pondering and then seeing the miracle of this little life. God is good. God is good. God is with us. It is true. And then Zechariah has the opportunity to obey God, not going to do what other people expect or what they want or what custom demands. His name is John. And immediately Zechariah's mouth is filled and it's filled with joy. It's filled with praise for God. Now, how do you become a joy sharer with other people? Well, kind of like people in this story. This is the nature of the kingdom. Be curious about people and then find out if you can help them. You can do this today. I have a friend named Larry, and he is so good at this. I learn a lot by watching him. The first thing he'll do when he's meeting with somebody, when he's talking with them, is he'll just ask them questions, and he's looking for common ground, seeing if they share any intersecting points in their lives. There's something deeply incarnational about this. See, the incarnation is Jesus enters into our condition, our life, our humanity, and we can actually seek to do that with each other. Be incarnational with other people instead of thinking you're different, you are unlike, you are out there. That's when your joy is often a threat to me. You're part of their tribe. But through the dynamic of the incarnation, I find that I'm connected with you. We are both similar. My learners just constantly look for, where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? What do you do? What are you interested in? What have you read? What are your hobbies? And you'll find something where you and I have common ground. We're not so different after all. And then that will naturally kind of lead to, how can I help you? And then if something good happens and I got to be a part of that, then my joy flows out of a good thing that happens to you, because I feel connected to you, because I know you and I care about you. Yesterday, Nancy and I had both not been feeling well. She went first, and then I went to the urgent care center. We were talking later on, and she said, did you notice the guy who was behind the desk? This was his name, and this is where he used to live, and he's got people up there. They just had an earthquake up there recently, but everybody's okay, and he's actually working behind this desk while he puts himself through med school. Did you know that? Well, yes, I knew that, and his middle name is Adam, and he had two painful breakups last year, and he actually wants to specialize in neurosurgery. Did you know that? I didn't know it either. I just made that stuff up because I felt bad because I didn't know. But people who have a gift for sharing joy with other people are curious. They just want to get to know them, and they want to help them. And we see this here as well. Everybody who heard about what was going on wondered about it, and they asked, what then is this child going to be? And that's such a deep part of sharing in the joy of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And every single child who is made in the image of God, every person to look at them and ask, what is this person going to be? What is God doing in this person's life? Something that we'll talk about a lot at Become New is the main thing God gets out of our life is the person we become. And that's where joy resides. This is so interesting. Again, joy, major theme of the Advent. In chapter 1, you might remember the angel Gabriel says to Zechariah, your prayer's been heard. You're going to have a son. You'll call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be a joy and a delight. Then Gabriel goes on to talk about what he will do. He will bring people back to the Lord. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He will do great things, but that will flow out of what he will be. And in fact, what he does is going to change, but not who he is. How do you be a joy and delight? You know, you could just set your mind on that today. I want to be a joy and delight. Well, we do that. We grow great in the eyes of the Lord as we ask for God's help to offer love, truth, goodness, challenge, help, servanthood, humility, encouragement, conviction into the lives of other people. And John the Baptist would do that. He would do that in a way that made his world quite different. He would do that in a way that came at a great personal cost until he didn't do it anymore. It's very interesting. In John chapter 3, you might know this story. Once Jesus' ministry starts, everything changes. And John's disciples come to him one day and he say, you know, that guy that you baptized, like you were big time and he was nothing back then. He didn't have a ministry at all. But bad things happen and we're losing market share. People that used to come to you and hear you, they're going to him. And we feel kind of important if we hang out with you. But, you know, when they're going away, if you're not important, we're not real important. And the charts are not up and to the right. What are we going to do about this? This is a real problem. You got to get people back. You got to come up with a new bit. Baptism thing isn't working so much. The old camel hair stuff and eating wild locusts. You got to come up with some new stuff to draw a crowd. John's response is so interesting. A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah. He doesn't compare himself to Jesus. He doesn't envy Jesus. So interesting. Later on, we're told that Pilate knows that the religious leaders, Israel, handed Jesus over. This is in Matthew, out of envy. Not John the Baptist. I was sent ahead of the Messiah. I'm not the Messiah. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him. In a Hebrew wedding, there was a character, the shoshbin, kind of like the best man, and he would guard the tent where the bride would enter and stand there, make sure nobody got in until the groom came. And when he heard the groom's voice and he knew it was the groom, he would step aside. Wasn't his bride, wasn't his tent. He was a friend. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. that joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. That's where the joy is. I know what my joy is. If I try to have his joy, I will lose my own joy, and I will never have his, because I'm not him. God's not going to ask me, why would you, Jesus? I have found my joy, and I rejoice in watching what's happening in his life. Joy comes when we share it with other people. You see this from the beginning of Jesus' story. So today, do not be a joy hoarder. Do not be a joy collector. Be a joy sharer. Look at other people. Be curious about what's going on in their lives. Ask how you can help them. And then anytime somebody else is enriched, Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Instead of asking, hey, how about me? Just think, man, what must it be like to be this person and have joy? How can I make somebody else smile? How can I make somebody else better? How can I add value into the life of another human being? Do that. Rejoice, for the Lord is with you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New, and I live in Minnesota, so it's freezing where I am. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future teachings from John as we walk through the Christmas story a few verses at a time. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to find more teaching just like this. And if you've got a prayer request, please text it to us so we can pray for you. You can text it to the number 855-888-0444. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.